Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Happy Memorial Day to each and every one, especially those families who have a family member who did pay the ultimate price. Douglas Graham is our guest and our new friend. He's CEO and chairman of Innovation Trust Company, which administers $8 billion of financial assets and is the first bank to manage intellectual assets as well as financial assets. He is the co-author, along with Thomas Bachman, of a book that I think I'm very excited about, and I think you will be too. It's called Ideation, The Birth and Death of Ideas. Douglas, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
It's good to have you here. I'm really excited about your book, Douglas. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very, very happy about the interest that it's getting.
Well, I can see how it would be, and one of the things that that I'd like to establish to start with is a trend in the marketplace that I've talked to my audience about. I've mentioned it on the show before, but it bears repeating, and that is this change in the valuation of balance sheets of corporations. And I know of one report, that what I call the Crossan report, and I think there are probably others, and you know what I'm talking about. I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about what that trend looks like.
Well, I think this is probably the least discussed, most impactful trend that's occurred in business over the last 10, 20 years. And that is basically that the value in our corporations has completely shifted. 15, 20 years or so ago, 80% of the value of our corporations was tied up in the tangible assets, you know, physical plant, these kind of things.
Inventory. Buildings and tractors and trucks and fixtures and inventory.
Right. But now it's completely shifted. And today, according to several reports, so the one you quoted and also a recent PricewaterhouseCoopers report, close to 80% of the value in our corporations is in our intangible assets, in our intellectual property. And, this has been a huge tectonic change, if you like, but one that's been very little discussed. And we're still using all the systems and procedures that basically were designed for the time when all the assets were physical. So our accounting systems, our reporting systems, the way investors look at a potential company, these are all tied up to our old systems. In fact, someone likened it to using a sort of 50-year-old roadmap of Los Angeles to try and find your way around.
Right. Now, when you say systems, tell us what you mean. Define systems in the way that you mean it right now.
Well, for instance, our basic accounting system, our reporting, the way we do our annual reports, and
the way banks give us credit for what we own.
Exactly. The way we decide whether a company is creditworthy, and perhaps even more significant, the way we predict the future performance of a company when we look at it as an investment potential.
It's another example of how we're still being shackled in the 21st century with 20th century methods, isn't it?
Exactly. But the unusual thing about this is an area where actually the regulators are leading the change. Both FASB, the Financial Accounting Standards Board,
right,
and the SEC have come out with new rules that they're not minor arcane accounting changes. These are radical ways they want
sweeping
to change the way that we, the public, and we potentially investors look at a company. And that takes in account the intellectual property. In fact, the FASB 141 and 142 now require companies to identify and value all of their intangible assets.
Well, and which is good news and bad news to me, Douglas. It's good news because there are people who are who are encouraging businesses to do this, and they're sort of making the case for it in the marketplace. These governing boards. But the bad news is that not everybody knows how to do that. Not knows how to value a property, and once valued, everybody we work with doesn't know how to appreciate what we've given them.
Exactly, and that's one of the goals I wanted to achieve with the book is to help people address these issues in a fairly simple, systematic manner. And secondly, the bank that you mentioned earlier is actually in the process of being acquired by North Shore Asset Management. And when that's completed in about a week or so, we're going to be rolling out a service, which initially will be a free service, specifically to allow companies to do this.
Douglas, let me stop you for a second. I'm going to let you pick up on that. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to let Douglas say what he was going to say, and then we're going to talk about some definitions. I think this will help. 20 Till, stay with us. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. Douglas Graham is our guest. He's co-author of a book called Ideation, The Birth and Death of Ideas. And Douglas, I want you to take a second and give us your website and tell us where the book's available.
It's ideation.com. And the book's available at Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble and basically all the major outlets.
All right.
Just coming out now at the end of May.
Now, I want to come back before we leave today, before you leave us, I want to come back and talk about your website because I know you have some things on there that we can look at that we can go take a test drive on. But I want to come back to what I had to interrupt you as we went to the break. Do you remember where you were?
Yes, I think we were talking about the process of now how all the value in companies is tied up in their intellectual capital and how we need tools to help us manage that.
What about these definitions? This is very instructive for me because, you know, I've used intangible assets, I've used intellectual capital, I've used intellectual property. You actually differentiate, you know, in a lot of ways you can combine them. You could say, you know, you could use one a term and interchangeable for the other, but you guys actually define them differently, don't you?
Yes. What I try to do is to all these terms are basically used interchangeably, but I notice there's a little bit more emphasis in some contexts and different shades of meaning. So I try to bring some clarity to the situation. And generally, if you like, in the broadest sense, we have intangible assets, and within that is intellectual capital, which are ones that typically we recognize as having value. Then within that, there's innovation. And then specifically within the last two areas, there's intellectual property, which I think is probably best defined as intellectual capital that has been formally protected by copyright or patent or trade secret or something like that. And the other differential, I think, is different parts of the organization refer to intellectual property in different ways. The researchers tend to talk about inventions. The R&D managers talk about research. The CFO talks about intangible assets because they're looking at the value of it. The chief knowledge officer talks about intellectual capital. The general counsel talks about intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
And the CEO tends to talk about innovation. But it's all the same thing.
So intangible companies,
it has its own life cycle.
And
we just need to manage it better.
Intangible assets would be like systems that our company uses that we've developed, like a truck route or a way that we've determined is works best for us, or maybe even, and it could also be goodwill, the goodwill of our customers.
All of those things.
Uh-huh.
I mean, FASB talks about many different categories, including you know, know-how, business processes. Things like advertising content, copy material, even contracts and customer
mm-hmm.
relationships we have with
mm-hmm.
people.
Absolutely. And
it's
and
basically anything that's not physical or not financial.
Right. Something that somebody has created and that we use that you can't really hold in your hand. And you know, this is really the way you've the diagram that you have here on page 5 is really instructive. And folks, I encourage you, small business owners especially, this is an area that we really need to focus on more and more, Douglas. And that's the good news. And I think more and more small business owners are focusing and are paying more attention to our intellectual property. And I'm going to use that term just because I like it. But I think more of us are. But we also need we can't do without our bank relationships, Douglas. We have to have the working capital that most of us get comes from our banks, from loans right. from our banks. And so I can just see a small business owner out there making this transition you and I were talking about from the 80% tangible, 20% intangible to making the transition to flip that the way most many corporations have done. I can see us trying to take that new balance sheet to the bank and trying to get our bankers to give us credit for something that he can't come out and inspect.
And right now your chances are fairly slim, basically.
So what are we going to do about that?
Well, we're trying to make the first step. I actually am in the position of running a fairly substantial trust company at the moment. It's actually currently called Circle Trust. Innovation Trust is how we plan to rename it and rebrand it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, the other line's going on. Get that later. What we basically want to do is to change the emphasis to being not just managing financial assets, but also managing intellectual assets as well. Now that the shift of our value has completely shifted, we need to be able to shift from just managing financial assets to being able to manage our intellectual assets as well. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what we're doing right now.
All right, while you're shutting that off, I want to move over to Chapter 3 and talk about the taxonomy of innovation. This is a very important area that I think we all need to focus on more, and that is how these ideas get started and how they're developed. And when we come back, we're going to take a quick break in a couple of seconds. And when we do, we're going to talk about the taxonomy of innovation, folks. Problem solving, evolutionary idea, symbiotic idea, recreation, revolutionary idea, serendipitous discovery, all the different areas, all the different ways of identifying what an innovation is and how it got its birth. And we're going to do that right after these messages with our new friend, Mr. Douglas Graham, the co-author of Ideation, The Birth and Death of Ideas. It's 10 till. Stay with us.
Nothing is going right.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Visiting with Douglas Graham. He is the co-author of Ideation, The Birth and Death of Ideas. And Douglas, I want you to take a moment and tell us a little bit about your website, because I know you have some interesting things there, don't you?
Yes, and that's actually coming up. We have the beginnings of it up already, and most of it will be coming up beginning of June. But basically, we're trying to provide a service to businesses, small and large alike, that want to take the first steps in identifying and valuing and managing their intangible assets.
Mm-hmm.
So at the same site as where we have the book, the ideation.com, and it will also be linked to our bank site. It will be basically a service that allows people to go in and register their intangible assets. And this, in a way, is the first step of protection. It gives them a firm evidentiary trail that they had this idea or this particular intangible asset at this point in time. It allows them to use some simple tools to do an initial valuation of them. It allows them to aggregate this value for all of their intangible assets so they can report and comply with the new accounting regulations in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows them to see which ones perhaps they should be thinking about further and more formal protection, such as patents.
And that's at ideation.com. By the way, Douglas, You'll find this very interesting. This is, you know, people think that we just, we just happen to put people on shows at certain times. And I'd like to say that we need to take credit for this. But the truth is, this was actually just a coincidence. Today is the 214th anniversary of the copyright law.
Did you know that? That is very interesting.
How about that? On this day in 1790, yeah. George Washington signed the first U.S. copyright law. It gave protection for 14 years of books written by U.S. citizens. And in 1891, the law was extended to cover books by foreign authors as well. How about that?
That's very timely then, and very appropriate.
As I said, I want to say that we knew all about that, but that was just a coincidence. We pretty much know what we're doing around here, but we're not that good.
And we're still basically using that same copyright law in pretty much the same format. We've extended it. You know, there's been the lobbying by Disney and others to extend the time period.
Right.
But it's
what is it? 27 years
law.
Now.
A big one.
What is the time? 27 years.
Yes. Okay. It's been extended about twice now, I think.
Let's talk about the taxonomy of innovation a little bit, Douglas. In chapter three, you talk about that, and you list a lot of different areas. We're not going to be able to get into all of them, and I want you to come back another day and let's talk some more about these. But talk to us. What do you mean by the taxonomy of innovation?
Basically, what I was looking at is the different kinds of inventions that tend to be out there. That's why I wanted to get a sense of the general classification of what are the different kinds of ideas. And they tended to fall into several patterns, regardless of where they came from. There were some general broad guidelines. I mean, there was a serendipitous idea such as penicillin where, you know, basically he didn't wash up his lab dishes enough and he just came up with, somebody discovered the mold there. Mm-hmm. And then there's the problem solution, something where someone has been struggling to solve a particular issue and comes up with it. And then there's the evolutionary idea where something's already there, but someone figures out a way to improve it, which is actually a large part of innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the symbiotic idea, which is simply taking two ideas and putting them together. And often no one thought of combining two things together in such a way. So that's another interesting one.
One of the things, I want to stop you for a second, Doug, because we're coming up on the end of our visit this time. But one of the reasons why I think this taxonomy is a good idea is because I think these different terms and different definitions can be used in our businesses to help people be more creative and more innovative by seeing how these ideas can happen and by making our minds sort of prepared to receive this kind of information. And so will you come back another day and talk to us about this some more?
I'd be very happy to. I would love to.
Well, we're going to have to wrap it up for now, but I really am excited about your book. I really am, and I want to get you back again real soon, and let's do this again. The book is called Ideation, ladies and gentlemen, The Birth and Death of Ideas, and the authors are Douglas Graham and Thomas Bachman. Douglas, thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me.
We'll see you next time.
You have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you. You too. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.